Well, good morning, everybody. As Steve Riske said, my name is Plan B, welcome to an exciting morning here at Brookside where anything can happen. So, but in all seriousness, this may be Plan B this morning, but even as I just listened to Steve share about wanting to get into teaching us about the Holy Spirit, this is a morning where we are doing exactly what we should be doing, which is leaning heavy on the Holy Spirit and inviting Him in to speak and to move and to do. And I really believe that this Plan B is definitely God's Plan A. And so I'm expectant that He has something for you guys this morning in all of this. I know even in just taking a step back leaning in and asking the Lord, okay, what would you have for me to share this morning? That He even had some reminders and some big things for me. And so all that to say, I want to share with you guys from Psalm 27. And what I'm going to do in starting us off is we're going to break it down section by section. There's kind of four sections that we're going to take a look at. And I'm going to ask you guys, one, if you have your Bibles and or an app you use, go ahead and open it up to Psalm 27 so you have it there in front of you. When we get into it, we'll put some sections up on the screen. But my goal with this time together this morning is that we would be able to stop and pause, that we'd be able to reflect on what we're reading, and that we would be able to spend some time just meditating and listening in prayer to what God might have to say to us. And so that being said, I'm just going to start off just by reading Psalm 27. And so if you've got it in front of you and you want to look at it, or even if you just want to quiet your mind, and quiet your heart and close your eyes and listen as I read. But let's look at Psalm 27 together. David writes this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Well, Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, and it is our heart and our goal to wait on you, to look to you, Lord, to listen to you, and ultimately, God, to grow in our knowledge of you, and our experience of you, and to be able to do that together, God, in community. And Lord, wherever we're at this morning, would you be near to us? And Holy Spirit, we do ask, would you fill this place? Would you be with us? And would you speak and would you move? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know where you guys find yourself sitting this morning. I don't know what your week has been like. As I stand up here, I have my Spider-Man cup that my daughter gave me as a Christmas present. And Spider-Man, I love superheroes, I love comic books, but Spider-Man's always been one of my favorites, particularly because I tend to identify a lot with Peter Parker. And if you guys are familiar with stories of Spider-Man or Peter Parker at all, he is like the common everyday superhero. And in his normal life, Peter is the guy for whom nothing can go right. And I often think of, there's a scene in one of the movies where Peter's going through some struggles, some trials in his life, and he's really trying to find his momentum and attempt things and get things back. And he goes to like jump off a building, like he's believing in himself and he's going to shoot that web and land it, and it fails and he falls and just, you know, pummels to the ground, breaking through things, falling on the ground. And just as he gets up in agony and pain, there's this silent moment where he just leans on a car to help him get up. And the alarm starts going off. And it's just this moment of, oh my goodness. I don't know about you guys, but I've had a lot of days that have felt like that. And sometimes those are just like the normal things, the lighter things, the daily struggles that we might deal with. And other times there's bigger and harder things. And things that not only maybe affect us, but we're watching affect the world around us or our community around us, and that I don't even begin to have the words for or the ability to wrap my mind around when I'm preparing last night. And an interesting moment, by the way, and I was helping out with the Brookside truck, and we had used it to help with some things, and I was taking it with our good friend John Grossman to fill it up with gas, and he and I were driving back, and as we're pulling it into the parking lot, all of a sudden it sounds like we're dragging something, and we had just filled it up full of gas, like we'd done this great thing, and the gas tank strap rusted and broke, and we were dragging it in, and it's like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And then Steve calls me. And Steve has COVID and says, hey, can you get up here and do this thing? And I say, all right, Lord, here we go. This is going to be awesome. And then preparing last night, and I've been so invested in our day and things we're doing. And I just get this message that there's been a mass shooting in Buffalo, and reports that it's racially motivated and that people have died. And I think, Lord, what do I even begin to do with that? What do I even begin to say? How do I look at that in my own life, and what does that mean? And how do I care for people around me, people of color in my community that feel that even more deeply than I could ever possibly, let alone the people of Buffalo, or think about people who are present. And I just don't know. And yet, what I do know is this. I am confident in Jesus. I am confident in who he is. I am confident that it's not my words. It's not my thoughts. I'm confident in him and the fact that we get to gather together in his name and we're the body of Christ. And while we may get lost in our own struggles and our own small Peter Parker-like moments where we put our hand on the car and the alarm's going off, and we may feel devastated in the wake of huge things that make it feel like the world around us is falling apart. And yet, we're together. And yet, we have Jesus. So friends, all that to say, I don't know where you find yourself sitting this morning. I don't know how you respond to news like what came across yesterday with Buffalo. I don't know how you respond to the trials and things going on in your life, but I am excited to take some time this morning and just sit before the Lord with you and listen to what he might have to say to us. And I don't know about you guys, but songs and psalms are just amazing ways that God has used in my life to connect with me. Whether it is through worship and songs like we were just singing up here, or through the psalms and these writings that are poetry, that are worship songs, and how we connect to God within that. So all that to say, just wondering what speaks to your soul this morning in each of those things. And I would just ask us, could we just take a moment and just quietly, wherever we're at, pray and just come before the Lord and just ask that he would speak to each of us in these things and in this moment. So would you pray? Well, Lord Jesus, again, as we just lift up just our thoughts and our hearts and turn them towards you, I pray, God, wherever each of us are sitting this morning, God, you know the things that are going on in our lives. God, you know the struggles. God, you know where we feel like David, that there may be enemies encamped against us, ready to rise up against us. God, you know where we may have those feelings that we need to cry out to you, Lord, and say, we seek your face, God. Don't turn away from us, God. And we stand here confident that you are a God who sets us upon a rock, that you are a God that we see your goodness in the midst of it, and you're a God that we can take courage and refuge in. And so, Lord, would you be with us this morning as we reflect and as we look. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So like I said, I don't have any eloquent words for us this morning, but we have the words of the Psalms. And so, in taking a look at it, Psalm 27, I don't know about you guys, if there was a particular psalm that comes to mind for you, if there's a psalm, or maybe it's a hymn, or maybe it's a worship song, that when things are hard, God brings to your mind, that you find your thoughts going to, that it's lyrics or it's words you keep reciting. For me, Psalm 91 has been a huge part of my life, and it's been a psalm that I've come across in all kinds of times and scenarios. And there are worship songs, particularly ones that I became a follower of Jesus when I was in high school. And there were songs in that formative time that we sang and that I learned that just have deep meaning to me. And I find my heart and mind going to those when there are times that I need to lean on the Lord. And don't worry, I do not have the talents of people like Tiffany or Tony. I can sing in one key. It is the key of Bo, and it is not pretty. So I'm not going to recite any of those lyrics to you. And yet, even as we sit here seeking God's voice on those things, I hear them playing in my head. And I don't know where that sits for you, but Psalm 91 has been one of those for me. And just recently, Psalm 27 came my way from a friend who just knew that this year had been a particularly tough year for me. And they sent me literally a text one morning as I was feeling pretty beat up. Like the day I had before, that things could not go much worse, and looking forward to the day that was coming ahead and just thinking, God, I don't know if I can stand through this. And the text I had just simply had verses 13 through 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That has been my theme coming into these last few months. So in looking at Psalm 27 together, it's a beautiful poem and song of worship. I want to go ahead and throw up, if you can put verses 1 through 3 up on the board then, and just kind of look at this first part. I was just seeing different things that are out there, and somebody that I always like to look at in reference when I'm teaching something is Charles Spurgeon. And I don't know if that name means anything to you guys. He is a theologian and a preacher who was teaching in the basically the turn of the century, right before it came into the 20th century. Our good friend Kevin Crawford used to refer to him as a wise dead guy that he would go and consult with when getting ready to preach. And so Spurgeon has some great commentaries out there on the Psalms, and they're free resources online, and something that I'm going to post in the Brookside Family Forum later today if you want to take a look at it. But this first section, Spurgeon just cites as the David just looking at his sureness and confidence in God. And really, when you look at it, take a look at those words and the things that he's expressing of God's character and who he is. And verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God's light shining into hard places. And David knows, whom shall I fear if God is my light? He uses the word Adonai, which means my Lord in Hebrew. And he joins it with different phrases that are names for the meaning of God. And so we're reading it, and it's saying, the Lord is my light. But he's really joining those words together in Hebrew with Adonai. And he's saying, the Lord who is my light, like the name of God, that God is my light. And he moves on. He says, God is my salvation. Like the very name of God that is the foundation for the name of Jesus, that God who saves us. Whom shall I fear? And then he says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he's giving real voice to the feelings that he's feeling. And yet he's going back and saying, God is my light. God is my salvation. God is the stronghold of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then as he moves on into verse 2, he's speaking in response to God's character. And he says, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. I don't know who you guys come up against in your life, whether it is situations, whether it's people, whether it is hardships, whether it is unexpected turns. It may be death, maybe the death of a loved one. It may be a situation in your job or in your family. It may be a fallout that you're having in relationship, or it may be somebody who is coming up against you. I don't know, but I know that any time in my life that I have felt those things, my immediate resolve and my immediate response is I go in and start trying to think, how am I going to protect myself? How am I going to justify myself? How am I going to deal with this? And I long to take a step back and respond the way that David does and say, this is who God is. This is his character to me. And so when these things come my way, here's where I can respond. That I can look at evildoers and adversaries and foes and say, God's going to protect me. Those who go against him, they're going to stumble and fall. That when you see that big front coming up against you, that we're able to say, I'm going to have confidence in the Lord, and my heart's not going to fear. And then even when the arrows start flying our way, he says, not just that they immerse and encamp against him, which are real experiences that David had that he's writing about, but that when the war starts coming, I'm going to be confident. It just really made me take a step back and say, okay, Lord, how do I put my trust and my faith in you in those things? Verses 4 through 6, David expresses his love of communion with the Lord, of being with him, of that intimate time in connecting with God. And he says this in starting in verse 4, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David is asking and seeking. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I just want us to take a moment here and pause and just in prayer, can we reflect on what is it when we think of being in that communion, in that presence with the Lord? What are the things that we want to dwell near to him in? What are the things that if we are, David's saying, like sitting in the very temple of God, the place like where God is face to face with people, and he uses the word to inquire of him, to speak to him, to be in fellowship together, like face to face, what would we ask? And so let's just take a moment and do that right now, because we're in the presence of the Lord here together. So let's pray. Let's ask. Well, Jesus, I don't know the things that come to our hearts and our minds as we think of God, that longing to sit near to you in the midst of what's going on in our day-to-day lives. And God, I don't know what questions arise as we sit and we reflect on, Lord, what's going on with us, what's happening in our relationships, in our families, God, what's happening in our community, what's happening in our world. And yet, Lord, we have questions, God, and we have needs, and we look to you in them, Jesus. And I just pray the things that were lifted up here in quiet this morning, would you move on them, Lord Jesus? And would we be able to fix our eyes on you? And God, would there just be that same sense of peace and stillness and confidence that David has as he says, "One thing I ask of you, Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I pray, God, that whatever we face, whether it's today or tomorrow, God, that we would dwell near to you in it. And thank you that you are a God that invites us in, Jesus. And when we face those struggles, God, you call us closer to you. And I pray your closeness to each and every heart this morning, Jesus. So, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord, that he may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, which I always find to be an awe-inspiring one when I think of people in the days of Moses coming face to face with the glory of the Lord and the fearful and wonderful thing that's in that beauty. And to inquire of him in his temple, that God would invite us into the most holy of places and say, "Talk with me, speak with me, interact with me." And what comes from that response in worship in verse 5. So he says, "God, this is what I ask of you. This is what I seek. I long to be near to you." And then he says this. He says, "For God will hide me," verse 5, "in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." I don't know about you guys, but it's been in those hard moments and in those places of struggle where you feel attack, where you feel oppression, where you're not sure of your footing, and you lean into God, and God speaks and God moves, that have come out some of the most intimate and meaningful moments of worship in my life. And when I think about those psalms and those hymns and those songs, oftentimes they're coming out of just cries of joy that come through just the feelings and the deep emotions that I've gone through. And David expressing those things and sitting back about God being our wealth, our rock, and lifting us on a high place, and that he is going to hold us above, and that we get to respond then. And he says, "I respond with sacrifices." And I don't know. I don't know what that looks like for you. But sacrifice is worship, right? Sacrifice is giving of ourselves and trusting the Lord. And I don't know what it looks like for you to respond to that in wherever you may find yourself this morning. But I do pray that as you seek God on that and ask him, Lord, how can I respond to you in this? What are you asking of me? Where are you leading of me? That you would find that. And that out of that would come, as David said, singing those songs of joy, even if they're in an off key like mine, and making a melody before the Lord. And then verses 7 through 12, David takes us right into the heart of prayer. He's speaking the truth of God's character, what he's experienced of God, his longingness to draw in and near, and the response that comes from that. And then he prays this. And I would even say, as I read this part this morning, this is a prayer of my heart, and I would invite you guys to pray it in with me. He says this, verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence." Lord Jesus, we come before you, and God, we pray. You have called us to seek your face. And in this moment, and in our day-to-day, as we look forward to the week that's ahead of us and all that's going on around us, we pray, God, we long to seek your face. And so as David says, "Your face, Lord, do I seek." God, would you move in each of us? Would we be able to say that earnestly and wholeheartedly this morning? That, God, we seek your face, and we long for you not to hide it from us. And Lord, would you show us your salvation in those things? Lord, would you take us in? And as David says, God, would you teach us your way? Would you teach us your way? And would you set us on a level path in whatever we face and is before us? And in your name we pray. Amen. And then finally, the verses that my friend shared with me, and my encouragement and the place that I would encourage us to stand this morning as we come together. David says in verses 13 and 14, and Spurgeon says, this is like David's conclusion. This is his sustaining power of faith and his exhortation to others around him, because David is the leader of a people, right? And he's saying, not only is this what the cry of my heart is going to be in these things that I'm facing, but this is the thing that I'm going to exhort and I'm going to call God's people to. And he says, verse 13, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And so I don't know what that looks like for you this morning, but that is my prayer over us, that we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that today and each day as we walk forward, that we would know what it looks like to wait on him and to take courage and to know that our strength comes from the Lord and it's not in us. And that when I have those moments where what my heart longs to do is justify or prepare myself or fight my own battle, that rather I would lean into God, I would lean into his people, and that I would look to him to guide the way. Would you guys pray with me? Lord Jesus, I believe that we are going to see your goodness in all of these things. And I pray, God, as David exhorts us to do, would we look upon your face? And would we see your goodness? And God, would we know that that happens here, that that happens in moments with devastating news, that that happens, God, when there's brokenness in our families, God, that that happens when there are seemingly enemies and foes rising up against us. And would we look for our strength in you, Lord Jesus? And would you fill us? And would you guide us? It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for digging into the psalm with me, band. You guys can come on up. I don't know what that speaks to you. And I don't know what it causes you to wrestle with or think, but as we close out in worship, it's my prayer that you'd be able to think through that more. And I would love to hear from you guys, especially if there's anything God put on your heart in all of this as you were reading through and thinking that I can pray for you, that I can lift up for you, that I can encourage you in. And thanks for just taking time to dig into Psalm 27 with me this morning.